Welcome to the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. I'm your coach, Coach Phil Houston. If you coach kids or you're a youth fitness or strength and conditioning coach or a parent, today's topic is for you. And we're going to jump in on that in just a moment. But first, some housekeeping. Hey, if you're listening to me on iTunes and you like what you hear and you think it has value, would you give me a five-star rating and drop a comment? It helps the podcast get seen more and will help others realize there's some good stuff here. As always, you can find a lot of my work on the website, CoachPhilHouston.com. Virtually all of my stuff is available free there with the exception of what I keep locked up for my email newsletter gang. And that you can get by getting on my newsletter list on the website, of course. I'm on Facebook as Coach Phil Houston, as well as Instagram at Coach Phil Houston. Do spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. I'm also on Twitter at Phil Houston and see the previous comment about spelling. I would love it if you left me a voice message on Anchor, anchor.fm/4-pillar-fitness. And you can reach me, heckle me, leave me a message, say hi, ask a question, whatever you like. Now, on to today's topic. Coach feedback is proprioception and brain food for athletes. Now, the job of a coach is to help others develop talent, skills, and abilities in the pursuit of goals and objectives that will better the life of the person being coached. It's also to help the person being coached to avoid pitfalls and take advantage of every tool, resource, and opportunity available in that pursuit. Now, that might mean better preparing an athlete for the rigors of their chosen sport and to succeed in competition. It might mean helping someone to correct inefficient or non-supportive health and fitness habits in pursuit of weight loss, physique change, or other related outcomes. There are other coaching relationships for sure, but for our purposes, we're going to work with the athlete example. Now, one of the often misunderstood and ineffectively applied aspects of coaching is feedback. As a coach, my feedback and communication with my athletes is not just important to the relationship I have with them and their success in training. My coaching communication and feedback is literally brain food for my athletes. In order to properly and effectively grow and develop, the brains of young athletes need a steady flow of quality nutrients and stimuli. Modern science tells us that neural development and conditioning never really ends until the brain function ceases. Now, I've never trained a zombie, and I'm sure I can speak for virtually every other strength and fitness coach out there. And with that in mind, let's take a look at how we as coaches impact brain development, particularly synaptic development in our living clients via communication feedback and how both affect proprioception, among other things. Now, we know that synaptic structural growth, in other words, the structure of the network, is activity independent and spontaneous. It's part of the normal physical development of the neuromuscular system. Synaptic modification and performance, delivery efficiency, and transient synapse termination, also called pruning, on the other hand, are related to activity-dependent plasticity. In other words, the brain can grow the basics of a network by itself, but if we want that network to learn new and do new stuff, it needs input. Synaptic impulses and brain function beyond basic survival of the body unit, then, have all been impacted by previous inputs and proprioception, spatial and kinesthetic differentiation, spatial awareness, force development, stabilization, deceleration, and force application have all impacted and been impacted by the billions of proprioceptive signals processed by synapses. So it makes sense then that the development and performance of synapses and their connections is affected by the quality and quantity of feedback and communication received by the sensory organs. Emotional response to sensory organ proprioception creates new sub-signals, if you will, that affect the processing of and response to proprioceptive input. That's because part of the neural response to stimulus is conditioned by perception, memory, and emotional proprioception. Now, I've just boiled down millions of years of evolution and billions of brain connections, interactions to a few paragraphs. Stay with me though. We're going somewhere with this and we'll get there right after this brief word from our sponsors so Coach Phil can pay the bills. Hey, we're back. Now that we got the preliminaries out of the way and you kind of understand how structural networks begin in the brain and how they get improved, let's dig a little deeper on the subject of coaching and athletes and communication. So emotional proprioception includes how an athlete feels about his or her performance and results. It also includes the physical slash neuromuscular effect of those perceptions, the memories and emotions on emotional state, on the desire for avoidance of performance, on posture, desire for or avoidance of performance, on posture, on movement, and on stability. This feedback loop contributes as much to training success as quality of movement and the quality and variety of exercises chosen. Creating positive training, sports, and exercise experiences, memories, and emotions can contribute greatly to the environmental enrichment of a youth athlete. And this factor is important for synaptic development and modification and improvement of brain function. In fact, according to numerous studies, but there's a couple dating back to the 60s, 1964 and 1966, those two were done by the same research group leaders, rats that were raised in an enriched environment developed 25% more synapses than their less enriched counterparts. So we're talking about research that goes back more than 50 years that knows this is true, that when you enrich the environment for developing brains, they get better. Studies on humans have shown that stimulus deprivation and lack of cognitive and other challenges in kids results in significant reductions in the numbers and the quality of available synapses. So my verbal and nonverbal communication then can greatly improve or severely inhibit the proprioception voluntary motor control loop. The quality of my feedback and communication can even affect my athlete's motor unit recruitment patterns, motor unit synchronization, and rate coding, all as a result of how I communicate during training. What all that means is that my feedback and communication may have a positive or negative effect on muscle performance during activity. Pretty intense. Don't believe me? Think about this. Have you ever fired up an athlete or maybe fired yourself up to get one more rep or do a drill perfectly or better just one more time? On the other hand, have you ever known an athlete or child who has repeatedly or consistently withdrawn from interaction with others, from cognitive challenges and from mental challenges, and the stimulation of sports because of the criticism, discouragement, or ridicule of a parent or coach? I bet you do. It's way, way, way too common in the youth sports environment and even in the youth training environment today. That child has serious negative emotional memories around anything that involves a challenge or a new skill. Postural and activity changes almost inevitably follow. These are examples of emotional proprioception at work. Now, memory of success or failure affects the perception an athlete has of whether they can or whether they can't perform an exercise or a sports activity. Henry Ford said, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. Now, this is a really glib view of this feedback loop, but he was onto something. How do we positively impact the athlete's current and future perceptions and expectations regarding movements that remain imperfect or which they are just beginning to learn? I'm going to ask the question again. How do we positively impact the athlete's current and future perceptions and expectations regarding movements that remain imperfect or which they are just beginning to learn? The answer is positive, forward-leading, and goal-directed communication. That may well be the key. So failure can become part of a self-reinforcing chain of proprioceptive input that can lead an athlete to a pattern of inability and an associated lack of belief. This will increase the degree of difficulty in learning any new training, sports, classroom, or even social skill. So how do we positively affect synaptic development and positive proprioceptive response? Well, it's not just what we say, but how we say it. We've got to provide the right kind of leadership for these kids and the right kind of communication so that they understand that a failure isn't permanent and that a challenge isn't something to be shrunk away from. Positive and leading communication, particularly surrounding potentially perceived risk or fear of failure, supports the athlete's positive view of potential outcomes. This, in turn, allows the athlete to maintain a positive self-image, confidence, and a belief in his or her own potential for success. All of this will result in an athlete who's engaged, interested, and motivated. And that is exactly what we want from our youth athletes. Now, these conditions are all a part of the enriched environment for an athlete and will support positive modification of synapses and brain structures and improve the proprioceptive system as a whole. Better information into the CNS will result in better performance of voluntary motor movements by the athlete. And the reason is pretty simple, really, when it comes right down to it, even though it is brain science. Neurotransmitters are affected by emotions, which are affected, especially in kids, by self-image, self-awareness, and perceptions of failure. For example, feelings of loss, sadness, fear, anger, and frustration are accompanied by concurrent reductions in brain serotonin and some other neurotransmitters and hormones. Studies have shown that lowered serotonin levels can lead to depression and even suicidal tendencies, While brain chemicals stimulated by positive experiences and communication will lead the athlete to higher levels of self-esteem, confidence, and happiness. Now, youth fitness professionals, trainers, sport coaches, and even parents can create positive experiences and enriched environments in several ways. Number one, choose communication and feedback wisely. Match your communication style to that of the athlete or athletes in front of you, remembering that they're different people on different days. They're very plastic. Frame successes in ways that lead the athlete to want to try more. Frame failures, quote unquote, in ways that encourage the athlete to appreciate the lesson to be learned or to try again if appropriate. In my practice, I ask all my athletes to be willing to screw up once in a while. Very simple. The expectations of perfection can be deadly to the long-term athletic development model. And whether we like it or not, when we're raising kids, that is the model we're in. Number two, communicate everything that happens in your session or in this experience as part of the process of long-term athletic development or the journey of the athlete. Every athlete has a destiny to fulfill. They were placed here to be a part of a magnificent canvas of struggle, learning, and achievement. Remind them of that, regardless of the circumstances confronting them in the here and now. Number three, comfort them if they need it, inspire them whenever possible, and correct them only as much as absolutely necessary. When correction is necessary, use the sandwich technique. Place the correction or constructive criticism between two hearty slices of love, praise, and affirmation. Your athletes are going to respond far better. Number four, subtly and indirectly remind them that they are already more than enough. I'm going to repeat that one. Subtly and indirectly, or directly for that matter, remind them that they are already more than enough. Remind them that everything new they achieve, learn, and complete simply expands their universe and gives them more ability to help others achieve as well. Now, that might be by them teaching something new to someone or them being an example or having someone see them. You never know who's watching, right? I expect my experienced athletes to lead by example, to make newcomers feel welcome and teach them, quote unquote, about our prehab, mobility, and flexibility techniques. The teacher gets a sense of accomplishment and the newbie loses that fear of the unknown far more quickly. Number five, have fun and be willing to laugh at your own foibles. A few years ago, I was playing a game of tag with some athletes and I took a complete header, like total header. I took out a table, or just about took out a table in the process, and I was fine. I mean, I didn't get hurt. But we were done for a good 5 to 10 minutes. Why? Well, as soon as it happened, the athletes in the group realized I was laughing, and it became contagious. Once they realized I could laugh at myself, it became okay for them to laugh at my circus act too. Now, I encourage you to improve your communication and feedback skills. Hone these skills until you become a source of brain food for your athletes. You just might be able to influence the structural and functional development of your athletes' brains. And to think, for my entire life, I thought fish was brain food. I mean, who knew? So that's our episode for today. Hey, feel free to reach out via voice message at anchor.fm/4-pillar-fitness. Visit the website at coachphilhouston.com or reach out via Facebook or Instagram at Coach Phil Houston. Spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. And as always, keep the faith and keep after it.